So turn your Bibles to 2 Kings 2. 2 Kings is right after 1 Kings, in case you didn't know that. And so 2 Kings 2, and so you're probably thinking, man, I'm glad Christmas is over. I got my Christmas list all done, and now I had to work on my grocery list again. And so now as we look into this year, we're looking at our planning list, right? And so some of you guys have to maybe turn in your vacation list. I'm requesting this week's off and all that kind of stuff. And so a lot of people are planning kinds of things, or you're planning, hey, we're going to need this new year. I need some new tires for the vehicle. They're probably on 20% tread. You know, I got a plan for that. Or I need a new washer like my wife is wanting. And so I was like, honey, you got me. You're the best washer, best Maytag man in the world. You don't need a new washer. She's like, yeah, right. We're going shopping. And so we're creating this list for things that we're going to need for the new year. And so taking in 2 Kings, where kind of the Lord has been leading me to, I've always wanted to do Elisha, right? And so a lot of us know Elijah, but many of us don't know Elisha, the one that came after Elijah. And so in 2 Kings, we see this transition of things from old to new, like Thurman was talking about, from Elijah to Elisha. And so new things are happening. And so in chapter 1, there was a lot of political change, right? And so Ahab died, his son Ahaziah fell through the lattice and injured himself, and he didn't make it. And so his son came on, Joram came on, and so there's a lot of political change going on. Now remember, there was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, so politically they were divided, spiritually they were divided over the land and the worship times, and Bethel being a place of worship that Jeroboam put together that God never told him to do, right? And so God put a curse on his family, the northern kingdom and Bethel and all those kinds of things, and then God was blessing the southern kingdom, Judah. And so Isaiah was speaking in the midst of those times to the southern kingdom, as we saw heading into Christmas. And so now we're looking at the northern kingdom that was just a mess, right? And so remember, they had just came out of a three-year drought under Elijah. Remember, he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years. Could you imagine that? So they came out of a three-year thing, just like we're coming out of a three-year thing, you know, from COVID and whatnot. And so we're coming out of a three-year thing and probably looking at, hey, our tougher days ahead. So that impacted them economically. There was a political upheaval. There was spiritual stuff going on. It's like all these things were happening at once. And so we've been kind of dealing with some of that these past couple of years. It's like, and then anticipating what's going to happen this year, right? Are we going to face a recession? Are we going to face a downturn economically and then politically, where all this stuff's going on in the world? And it's like, catch your breath kind of moment, right? It's like, oh my goodness. What do I need to focus on? What are three things that I want to talk about today? What three things are we going to focus on this year? You know, last year we looked at praying hard, growing stronger, reaching further, and we're still going to implement some of those things. But it's like the Lord was saying, what do you really need to face these things? Right? We can pray, we can grow, we can reach further, we can do all those kinds of things, but it's like if we don't focus in on our spiritual side of things, then all those things, we can be unproductive or ineffective in those things. And so Elisha has this transition in chapter 2. And so he's going through all of these things, and so then he hears these words, hey, Elijah is going to be taken from you today. And he hears this from the prophets who Elijah and all of them, and they know each other. And so he's like, don't even speak about it. Don't even talk to me about it, right? I know it, just don't even say it. Have you ever had conversations like that? It's like, I know this, but just don't bring it up again, right? Kind of moment. I don't want to talk about it. And so he's dealing with that. And so him and Elijah were having a conversation. So he knows Elijah's going to be taken up and all these kinds of things. And so his mentor is getting ready to be off the scene, and it's like, well, how are things going to transpire from here on out? It's like, I'm losing my best friend, so to speak. I'm losing my coach. I'm losing my senior leader, my mentor. And so all in one day, right? And so the Lord took him up on that chariot of fire. I mean, that would be an awesome way to go to heaven, amen? Could you imagine just standing there and seeing this horses and carriage come for you, and it's all lit up, and it's like, is that for me? You know, and God's like, yes, that's for you. And so the Lord swooped him up and took him on home. And he literally flew away. You know what I mean? And so he's going to come until later in scriptures. We're going to see later on. But he asked for things that were something from Elijah that was very difficult to ask for. So as we're facing or been through some tough stuff, what do we need from the Lord that'll help us get through the next season, right? And so this next season of his life, there was going to be like a transition of sevens. And so we're going to look at those sevens in weeks to come. And our focus this year is on revival, getting us revived as people, right? And so what is it that he asked the Lord for as he comes to Elijah in his last moment? Now notice here, verse 6, he says, "Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan.' And he replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground." Very important miracle there. "When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, 'Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you?'" Amazing question. And notice his response. "'Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit,' Elisha replied." Notice verse 10. "'You have asked a difficult thing,' Elijah said. 'Yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not.'" And so as we're facing these things this year, I'm asking, Lord, what will we need as a church? What will you need as a person for you personally? What will you need to face some difficult challenges that you're going to face? And so now he was faced with not only economic challenges, political challenges, spiritual challenges with the prophets of Baal and his own team. It was very divided. And so now it's like personal. What do you need? What are you going to need? And so it's a great question, right? Is my spiritual needs list? This is number one. And so Elisha asked for, "Lord, just a double portion of your spirit that's on you." It's like, wow, that was a great thing, right? But he said it was a very difficult thing. Even Elijah said that what you're asking for is very difficult. And so here's point number one. We will face difficult challenges. We know that, right? But we can't be afraid to ask God for difficult things. You follow me? We're going to be facing some very challenging times, possibly. But how are we going to get through? It's like, Lord, we need a double portion of your Holy Spirit upon us because things might get doubly bad in our life. We don't know. We're trusting God for each day, but Lord, help me as I get through this. I'm going to need this. That was his first request. Right? He didn't pray for politics. He didn't pray for the economy. He didn't pray for anything. He's like, Lord, hey Elijah, give me your study notes. He didn't ask for that. He said, I need the Holy Spirit that's on you to be a double portion on me. So don't be afraid to ask for difficult things as you face maybe difficult challenges, things that you may never have prayed before, right? Or praying for other people to get through. And so there was a guy from California whose his in-laws lived in Hawaii. And so he hated water, he hated to fly. And so he's like, Lord, in his prayer time, he's like, Lord, my one request this year is that you just put a road from California to Hawaii just for me. You know, would you do that? Because I hate to fly, hate water. I'm scared of all this kind of stuff. Would you just do that for me so I can see my in-laws a little bit more? It'd be so easy for me to do that, just travel. And God's like, you know how hard that's going to be? I got to do all this concrete, all this bridge work from California to Hawaii. He's like, impossible. What's the next thing that you're going to need? He goes, well, could you help me understand my wife? And he goes, you want two lanes or four lanes on that highway? You know? That's an amen. I got an amen from a woman. That's awesome. A woman there. Yes. Amen. Yes. So we can't be afraid to ask for difficult things. Now notice he goes, I want to inherit that. He goes, let me inherit that. He goes, if you drive up to Wendy's, you can get a single Dave's. You know, if you ever eat by Wendy's, you can get a single or you can get a what? A double. Right? And so sometimes you're like, man, how hungry am I? Am a single going to get me through? Do I need a double? You know, and so sometimes when you're spiritually talking about, we need a double portion of what God is saying to us, right? Now, that's not a hard thing for Wendy's to do if you want a double sandwich, all right? But it's hard for God because it's like, is it really hard for God to do that? No. He granted it. He got to see him be taken up. He got to see, and so he saw and felt a double portion of that. Was it, did it say all this miracles happen all of a sudden? It's like, no. He went about his day. He saw his friend go. He saw things happen, take place, and miracles happen, take place that he thought he would never do. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But in Ephesians 1, in Ephesians chapter 5, especially Ephesians 1, the Holy Spirit is part of our divine inheritance. Now notice he has, let me inherit this. And so as a new covenant believer in Christ, the moment we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and he seals that relationship with God that can never be taken away from us. But he also gives us the Lord's inheritance for us that's promised and guaranteed to us, Ephesians 1:14. Right? And so Jesus says the Holy Spirit is that seal of my relationship. That's your inheritance. Just because you belong to me. So the same spirit that was on Elijah was the same spirit that's on Moses and Jesus is now the same spirit that's at work in you. Amen. And so if they were in complete dependence upon the Holy Spirit for their life and ministry, how much more do we need it? See, God used those people who were dependent upon the Lord to work through them. That makes sense? And so we need just a double portion sometimes of just being doubly needy before the Lord. Now we have this already. We already have the Holy Spirit. But how much does he have of us? Does he have complete control of us? Have we surrendered everything to him? Right? And so in Galatians 5 says we're to walk in the Spirit, and our old flesh and the new spirit are like at odds with one another. So I can either live out of the flesh or I can live out of the Spirit. So Romans 8, as we already talked about last week, in Romans 8 it says our obligation is to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Jesus gave us this new nature, right? And so we're to live out of the new nature that's completely dependent upon and sealed by the Holy Spirit. And so now in Ephesians 5 it says you are to be continually in the tense of being filled with the Spirit. So our prayer this year, my prayer for this year, and I hope your prayer for this year is, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. God, I need more of you on and in my life. We could be, no matter what we face, here's the key point, no matter what we face around us, all the things that we're facing, that's not our focal point. God is calling us to be messengers and ministers, right? In today's time, but it kind of mirrors Elisha's time. Does that make sense? So no matter what we go through in life, God, no matter how hard it is to minister to people, in the northern part was very hard. God has called us for such a time as this. We are modern day Elishas. We are modern day disciples of Jesus. Did they have something that we didn't have? No. So it's like, well, if they had everything they needed, then why don't we? We do, as we're going to see. So, God, I just want you to be more in my life. I know I am going to miss Elijah, but God, I need you more than my friend. I need you more than, right? And so, secondly, we have a mantle to pick up or continue to carry. Some of you, many of you have already picked up this mantle, but some of you have never picked it up quite yet. So notice verse 13 and 14. Elisha picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. when he struck the water, it divided the right and to the left, and he crossed over. So this is an amazing moment. He just saw Elijah do that with the cloak, and they crossed over, and it's like he struck it once, and he's like, well, where now is the Lord? And so he struck it again, and it's like, and he walked across the water. But there was an opportunity because it fell at his feet. The cloak fell at his feet, right? So it's one thing to say, Lord, I need more of you, and all of a sudden God puts this stuff at your feet. It's like, okay, now what? I have this cloak at my feet. It was Elijah's, and now I have to, he wants me to pick it up, right? Sometimes there's circumstances that just kind of fall at your feet. You ever had those happen? Just comes your way, and it's like, you didn't ask for it. It just came your way. And it's like, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this? Am I supposed to pick it up and help that person carry what they're carrying? Sometimes yes. Sometimes it's ministry, right? And so sometimes Elisha was a learner, right? He was following Elijah, and then there was a point to where he had to pick up the cloak. I'm no longer a learner, a disciple. Now I'm an ambassador. There's a learning curve. There's a growing spiritual curve there, right? And so when I first came to know Christ, I was a learner, a disciple. I was learning all this stuff I needed to know. Then I started to serve. Then it was like, okay, God can use me. Then it's like, hey, now it's time to pick up another aspect of ministry. And so God calls us to not only just to save us, but to use us. And he's given each one of us a spiritual gift. He places it at our feet through the Holy Spirit and says, are you going to pick it up and use it? It could be the gift of just showing mercy and ministry to people, encouragement. It could be the ministry of just serving or giving, or just greeting people. All this kind of, it's falling at your feet. It's like, this is how I'm gifted, but it's like, I'm so afraid. Remember when Joshua was going to inherit Moses' ministry? He's like, Lord, I'm scared to death. He was scared to death. And God says, don't be afraid, three times. I'm with you. I'm going to help you. You're going to be strong and courageous through this. So there's a moment to where Elisha had to be strong and courageous, and it's like, okay, I will pick it up, and I'll wear this. I'll carry the load that was on him. But I need a double portion to do this. And he knew that. And so sometimes the greatest moment in our life is where we just pick things up and carry him. Right? We can't have other people pick stuff up for us and carry stuff when we're not carrying our load as well. So our goal has always been each one of us is to help serve and carry the load, right? If you have kids at home, it's like not one kid is like doesn't have chores. It's like, well, I'm the favorite. I don't have any chores around here. I don't help the family at all. It's like, no, you're part of the family. You're helping, right? You're gonna be a responsibility for stuff, right? And so as part of God's family, each of us has a role to play, and we got to pick it up this new year. Don't just be satisfied with coming and learning and just like growing. No, I'm going to serve, right? Hey, if we have 10 years left, you ever think about this? I think about this. If I have 10 years left, Lord, what do you want me to do this year that will help for down the road? And I got to pick that up, right? We're always forward thinking, right, as people. God's put that within us. And so, many of you who are carrying the mantle already, continue to do so. Don't lay it back down. If you need to lay it back down for a season to grow and replenish, I understand that. Right? We get that, right? We're called to do that. But sometimes we just have to say, Lord, we wrestle with that. It's like, just continue to carry it. Maybe in a different way. That makes sense? But God's calling us to say, Lord, use more of me this year. Here I am, use me. I want to see you do great things. And so we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Word of God, we've been gifted by the Holy Spirit to do all the things he's called us to do. And notice he picked it up immediately. Immediately. And then he struck the water with it. It's like, oh, I just saw Elisha do that. Now God's doing that for me too, right? I can be a blessing just as I've been blessed by others. Then third point, we need to watch the water in the well. Now this is his first miracle that's recorded that God did through Elisha. And so notice how it was, what was Jesus' first miracle? Did it include water? Yes, right? The water into wine. And so now he comes on this situation in Jericho, this city, they had a problem. And it's like, well, let's just read about it in verse 19. The men of the city said to Elisha, "Look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive." They're like, hey, we're sensing some things that are just, things aren't going right, right? We're well situated, but the well is bad. And so he says, "Bring me a new bowl," he said, "and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring and threw the salt in it, and saying, "This is what the Lord says, I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. And the water has remained wholesome to this day, according to the word Elisha had spoken." You know, even to this day, if you go to Jerusalem and you go to Jericho where this city was at, there's still a place called Elisha's Well, where you can drink from. So from that moment on, something happened to that water that remained fresh the rest of its days. Wow. But they came to him and says, "Hey, we have a problem. Can you help us?" And you're like, Lord, use me this year. Lord, I want to be more of you in my life. And all of a sudden somebody comes to you and is like, "Hey, I have a water problem." Like, I know nothing about water or water softeners or plumbing or anything like that. Call 1-800-PLUMBER, right? What's that guy's number? And so Don Clark's his number. So he's like, "Just bring me a new bowl and put what salt in it." And so what do we do when salt is kind of rough or hard? We put salt in the water softener, and it makes it soft. So we can use it, and we get sudsy and soapy and all that kind of stuff, right? But we know when the water is bad, you know, your hair turns orange or you got rust in the water, all this kind of stuff. You can see the residue on the tub or the sinks. It's like, hey, the water is not right here. We got to fix the water. And so, but the land was unproductive too. So it was spilling out over into the land. And so it's like, hey, our crops aren't doing good. It's like, what's going on? And they traced it back to the water source, the spring. Now notice he didn't say, hey, let's dig a new well. That's the solution to this problem. Let's dig a new well. That's not what he said. Give me a new bowl. I'm going to put salt in it. Salt is a purifier. We can heal this water. And water is a symbolic of the wellspring of our life, our heart and our soul and our spirit. So the whole point is, if the well is bad, the things that come out of the well will be ineffective and unproductive. And it can hurt other people, cause people to get sick. It's like, huh. So if my well isn't right, then can that affect relationships? Can that affect my productivity as a person or my work or what God's calling me to do? So we need to heal the water, purify the water so people can drink from it and be productive for centuries and days. Now, what's interesting, if you study Jericho, Joshua came to Jericho as soon as he crossed the Jordan, right? That was their first task, walled city, and there's like, we can't get in there. God's like, just march 7 times around it, and it'll fall. Super easy. Easy to God, right? And so they just did it, and the walls fall, but they were guarded. It's a guarded city, so they walled it. Says, we don't want God in here. Rahab says, hey, we know what you've done, what God has done in Egypt and all along the way. I want your God. And God received her and protected her and put her part of the Israel family. Right? And so when Joshua conquered the city, he put a curse on the city and says, whoever rebuilds this city, it will be at the cost of his firstborn. Whoever rebuilds after that, it will be cost of this and that. So it was like, wow, Jericho has this negative vibe behind it because of Joshua. So sometimes your past generation can in effect you now. And so I remember when my grandpa got saved. I wasn't around at the time. He was 29 years old. He got saved. Radically changed his life. Met my grandma. They got married. They had 4 kids. four boys, and then I was the second of the oldest. My dad's the oldest. And so it's like generationally, from my grandpa to my uncles to us and now to our kids, it's like, can God change a person's generation or generations to come, all because they have broken down the Jericho walls of their life and let God in, right, and reverse the curse upon sin in our life and death and all those kinds of stuff and bring healing to life for generations to come? That's the power of Jesus, amen? That's his power. And so our greatest need for this year is to make sure we discard the well right. We protect the well. And then what Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it flows what the issues of life. You've got to guard and protect this well. Make sure we put salt in it. Make sure we have a new bowl, a new year. I can't change anything that happened last year. And I don't want that bowl the last 3 years. It's like, Lord, I want a new bowl. And I want salt in it to help keep my heart pure this whole year. Because I want this spring healed. I don't know what last year was like for you or the years past. But here's a moment to where it didn't just purify the water, it healed the water. So here's what I want to encourage you with. Don't bring past hurts, scars, wounds into this new year. From this moment on, from that moment on, the water was well and wholesome from that moment on. We have grief share, we have classes, we have spiritual growth, we got counselors. But here's the thing. After having this moment with Elisha at the well, it changed everything for that city, the people. It was like an Aaron Brockovich moment. You think about it, it really was, right? They found the water source to fix it and healed it on. And so there's a moment in your life to where you've got to bring God your wounds, your scars, all your hurts, everything, and say, God, I'm putting it in the old bowl and I'm chucking it outside the well. It's not welcome in my well anymore. You follow me? It's not meant for us to carry. It's not meant for us to hang on to. Because it will just continue to poison the well. So we have to move on with the new bowl and make sure we have salt in it. It's like, with all those things, I'm going to help purify my mind, my thoughts, all that, Lord, I give it to you. Because I want my well clean. I want it whole and well for generations to come. For my family, for my grandkids, my kids to enjoy. Peter's encouragement before he passed away said these words to us, and as we're recapping the message today, Peter says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. We don't lack anything, right? Through our knowledge of him who's called us by his own goodness and glory, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises. Notice all that we have so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. That's awesome, yes. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness and to goodness knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control, perseverance, and perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love, which is the greatest virtue. So he's like, you've been given everything, but now your spiritual growth is on you. You need to make every effort to add to your spiritual growth. You're personal, responsible for your own discipleship. We're here to encourage and help and give you the tools and equip you for all of that. But I can lead a horse to water, but guess what? You can't make them drink. I can put salt in their water, though. Amen. Notice the challenge. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, those seven qualities, they will keep you from being what? Ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, Now notice this challenge. He is blind and nearsighted and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Oh, we can turn that water all dirty again and he can forget that it's already been healed. Interesting. So that's our challenge this year. God, more of you. Lord, use me. And Lord, help me guard this well for you. Amen. So communion is a time to where we look back, we get to reflect, and we get to remember what Jesus did for us, right? Did he have God on his life? He is God, right? But he was dependent upon the Holy Spirit as a man. He needed the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did a lot of miracles through him, right? Did he say, Lord, use me? Did he enter into ministry? Did he pick up the mantle from John the Baptist? Yeah. Was he productive and effective for the Lord? Absolutely. Did he have all those qualities? Did he persevere? Did he have self-control? Did he have knowledge? Did he have all those things? Absolutely. God never commands us to do things that he hasn't done himself. That's what I love about him, right? And so as we think about this next year, this next series, we're just going to do it on revival. Revival simply means to live again, to revive someone. And so to live again. So what was hurting or close to dying is like we're going to breathe back life into things this year. We're going to start off thinking and focusing on the Lord and our relationship and our love for God. Amen? Because that's what we're going to need as we face days ahead. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you so much for this, for your word today, just through your prophet Elisha. Lord, we thank you for his transparency of just needing more of you in his life. Things have been difficult and hard, but Lord, he realized that he needed you. And then, Lord, he wanted to be used by you. And so, Lord, sometimes we just got to pick up that mantle and put it on, and we got to strike the water of fear, and we can cross on dry ground. And Lord, we pray that you would help us continually guard our well. Lord, and turn our natural water into something supernatural through the power of your Holy Spirit, just like you did at that first wedding. You turned that water into wine, something very sweet and beautiful for others to drink and to enjoy and to celebrate. And so, Lord, we look forward to taking communion. We look forward to seeing folks enter the waters of baptism and just identify themselves as followers of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, help us as we kind of reflect and introspect on us, to help us just focus in on you, to make sure our well is right before we partake. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.